येतु धर्मं ऋतं इदं यथोक्तं पार्युपासते सद्धानमत्परमा भक्तास्ते तिव मे प्रियः। Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this chapter, from verse 2 through the end, from Mayave Shimano Yemam, fixing the mind on me, through Yetu Dharmam Ritam Idam, this religion of eternal engagement, the Supreme Lord has explained the processes of transcendental service for approaching Him. Such processes are very dear to the Lord, and He accepts a person engaged in them. The question of who is better, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna. And the Lord replied to him so explicitly that there is no doubt that the devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. In other words, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regulative principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This path is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path for self-realization, for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. The Bhagavad Gita is entitled Devotional Service. In this chapter, Krishna brings to a conclusion a series of verses in which he himself exclaims who is dear to him. The perfection of understanding Bhagavad Gita is to accept those activities which make us dear to the Lord and reject those things that displeases the Lord. As Krishna, or as the Bhagavatam explains, Athapumbir Vijastrestas Varanashrama Vibhagasha Svanushtatasya Dharamasya Samsadir Haritoshanam, that the perfection of our occupation is calculated to the degree we please Krishna. Only through pleasing Krishna can we be relieved from the miseries of material existence. Only by pleasing Krishna can we be given the ultimate satisfaction, the original position of the soul, his loving service. Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, explains a beautiful story of how devotees were gathered together discussing who is most dear to Krishna. It is explained that during the Kumbh Mela, which is held every 12 years at Prayag, the confluence of Ganga and Jamuna, there was an assembly of great sages. After taking their bath in the holy confluence, they were seated before that famous and beautiful deity of Veni Madhava, and they were discussing this subject of what is it that makes us dear to the Lord and who is most dear to the Lord. How to achieve the mercy of the Lord and who has received the mercy of the Lord. At that time, at the Dashashvamedha Tirtha, there was a very, very wealthy man. He was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And coming to the Kumbh Mela, he wanted to serve the Lord and surrender whatever he had for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. So he performed a wonderful yajna. He had a Shalagram Shila, and he practically all of his wealth he used in making beautiful, beautiful preparations, ornaments, cloth, garlands, wonderful, wonderful feast of prasad. He personally performed all the worship, and then he called all the Brahmins and the sages and Vaishnavas and fed them sumptuously with Krishna's Mahaprasad. And then he invited them to have wonderful kirtan of the holy name of Krishna, and they were all chanting and all dancing, and he was dancing along with them in great humility. He touched their feet, he worshipped all the Vaishnavas, and then with their permission he also took prasad. Narada Muni, who was in this assembly of great sages, was very pleased upon seeing this devotional behavior. So he went to this devotee and began to explain to him in a mood of glorification that you have truly received the special mercy of Lord Krishna. You have given the best of everything you had to worship the Lord and please his devotees in such a wonderful way. This Brahmin, when he heard this, he hung his head low to the ground. And he said, I have not really received the mercy of the Lord. I am giving these gifts to the Vaishnavas once during the Kumbh Mela, but how much do I have to serve them all the rest of the time? If you want to see who has really received the mercy of the Lord, you go to visit King Indrajumna in the southern part of India. His kingdom is so flourishing because of his exemplary behavior. Every person in the kingdom is chanting Krishna's names and glories. Everyone is engaged in devotional service. Every day he is feeding all the Brahmins, all the Vaishnavas with wonderful, wonderful Mahaprasad. And he has erected wonderful, wonderful temples. And there he is also worshipping Lord Jagannath 24 hours a day, every day. He has truly received the mercy of the Lord. Narada Muni went to the kingdom of Indrajumna. And when he went there, the king was performing wonderful, wonderful yajna and serving and pleasing the devotees in such a wonderful way. Narada saw everyone in the kingdom just chanting and dancing. Everyone was so pure, there was no sinful activities anywhere. So playing on his veena, he began to glorify the virtues of Indrajumna Maharaj. And when Indrajumna heard this, he held his ears And he bent his head low in great embarrassment. He said, "No, Narada, I am not special to the Lord. I have not received the special mercy of the Lord. How long will I live? Compared to the universe, what is this one little kingdom of mine that I am serving?" He said, "If you want, plus, everywhere on this earth planet there is old age, disease, and death. There are so many problems." He said, "The demigods, they are actually getting the special mercy of the Lord. They live such a long life. They have such tremendous power, such tremendous wealth and opulence to worship the Lord. And of all the demigods, Indra is the greatest. The Lord personally comes to receive his offerings in sacrifice." So Narada, glorifying the virtues of Indra, he went to Indraloka. He left the earth planet to the higher planets. And there, when he arrived, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, was just sitting, receiving the offerings of Indra as he was completing his yajna. And all of the Gandharvas and Apsaras and Vidyadharas, they were all gathered around according to Indra's instruction, making beautiful music and dance for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Narada began to glorify Indra. "But you are such a wonderful devotee. You have received such mercy that the Lord himself has become your brother. In the form of Vamanadev, he has appeared from the very womb that you had resided." He began to extol the glories of Indradev. When Indra heard Narada glorifying him, he said, "Please, Narada, do not speak in this way. You do not understand. I am not a fortunate person. What kind of mercy of the Lord have I accepted? No doubt the Lord has given me so much, but still, how much trouble I cause him. When he took my Parijata flower, I declared war against him. When he stopped the puja for me, I sent torrents of rain to try to kill him and all of his people. And he had to lift the Govardhan hill to protect them from me. With his thousand eyes, Indra began to cry as he explained his unfortunate position. He said, "And look, I am so much attached to all of this wealth and all of these beautiful ladies that if any saint or sage begins to perform too much tapasya, I become envious and fearful, and I try to disturb them. And from time to time, demons come and conquer me and chase me out of my abode. If you want to know who really has achieved the special mercy, it is Lord Brahma. No demons can ever approach him to take his land or property. And he lives as the controller and the lord of all of the devatas. He is the firstborn child of the Lord in this entire universe. And from his mouths the Vedas emanate. His devotion is unparalleled. If you want to see someone who has received good fortune, you should glorify the deeds of Brahma." So Narada Muni went to Lord Brahma in Brahma Loka, and he began to extol how, "Lord Brahma, you have been born directly from the navel of Vishnu. And your meritorious deeds are sung by all the three worlds. In fact, you are the cause of the creation. And you live so long. And through all of your life, you are engaging in the loving service of the Lord and his devotees." And when Brahma heard this, all of his four heads bowed down in embarrassment. And he said, "Narada, you are speaking like this. Brahma is Narada's guru. He was glorifying his guru. But Brahma explained, yes, the Lord's special mercy is upon everyone, but how they receive it, that is the most important thing. Examine my career. I have given great benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. And look what he did with my benedictions. The Lord had to personally come to kill him. He used my benedictions to exploit, blaspheme, and persecute devotees. And then after Lord Narasimhadev appeared, I was offering prayers, and he wouldn't even look at me. And as he was leaving, he told me, do not give these benedictions to demons. And then what did I do? I gave the same types of benedictions to Ravana. And he kidnapped, due to my benediction, he became so proud, he kidnapped the goddess of fortune, Sita herself, and would drink the blood of Brahmins. And thus the Lord appeared as Lord Ram and had to destroy him. Besides that, I am responsible for everything the demigods do. And look at all the crazy things they have done. Look at how Indra sent torrents of rain to destroy Vrindavan. And what about myself? I stole all the cow, all the calves and cowherd boys from Krishna just to test to see who he was. And then when he expanded himself in all of these forms, I approached him and bowed down with my four heads, and I understood the supreme glory of this land of Braja. In fact, I myself was in the land of Braja. But I realized because I was so offensive, I could not stay there. And besides all this, I'm so busy and overburdened with running the affairs of this universe. I have all these big palaces, I have all these responsibilities, I have all the family, I'm the grandfather of every living being within this universe. He says, if you want to see someone who has truly received the mercy of the Lord, you should go to Lord Shiva. He's not attached to all of these things like me. Shiva is so great that he's living in such detachment. Although he is the master of the worlds, he lives naked, without clothes, on a cold, icy mountain, without even a home. And there he sits always performing tapasya. And because his devotion is so great, even the Supreme Lord himself worships Lord Shiva. So Narada, hearing the glories with great feeling and happiness, he left the material universe. Went beyond the seven coverings into the spiritual sky where the abode of Shiva, Kailash Dham, resides. And there when he arrived, Lord Shiva, along with Parvati and all of Nandi and all of the devotees, they were all having a wonderful kirtan, dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy names. And as Shiva was dancing to the kirtan, tears were just flowing from his beautiful eyes, and his matted hair was going in all various directions. And his devotees were playing wonderful instruments, and he began to praise Parvati for playing the karatal so sweetly. And Narada came, and he went to bow down. But as he was going to bow down, Lord Shiva himself lifted him and embraced him. He was so happy to see the great sage Narada. Why have you come? And Narada Muni began to exclaim, because I want to congratulate you for receiving the special mercy of Krishna. And he began to extol the glories of Lord Shankar. But when Shiva heard it, he could not tolerate hearing his own glories. With great embarrassment, he bowed his head and he said, Brahma, I mean Narada, why you're speaking like this? The Lord is merciful to everyone, but how have I received his mercy? Instead of allowing me to worship him, he worships me at Rameshwaram and other places. And not only that, but at the time when Krishna's own son, grandson, Aniruddha, fell in love with Usha, taking the side of my devotee, I declared war against Krishna and I fought against him with all my armies. Ah, you say I am so dear to Krishna, such special mercy. In which case, why Krishna wants to dovetail my propensities? By telling me to come as Shankaracharya in the age of Kali and preach my own concocted philosophy just to disturb everyone's mind and take their minds away from Krishna and rebuke devotion to Krishna, which is the only pleasure in Krishna's existence. He said, if you want to understand who is truly glorious, you have to go to Vaikuntha. Because those people there, they have no tinge of material desires. Look at me. I am sitting doing tapasya. What is this tapasya? Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda. The real devotees reject all these things. And I am known as Muktinath, the giver of liberation. But for the true devotees, they block their ears in disgust when they think about the liberation I give people. If you want to know who has really received the special mercy of the Lord, Prahlad. When Lord Narasimhadeva appeared, myself, Brahma, all the devatas, Krishna wouldn't look at us. But Prahlad, he embraced and placed his hand on his head. Prahlad is unmotivated. He knows nothing but bhakti. You should know. You are his guru. He's constantly immersed in the greatest humility without any pride in thinking of Krishna. Myself and all of the demigods, we are all full of pride. If you want to see real fortune, you go and have the darshan of Prahlad. So Narada Muni took leave of Lord Shiva and went to Prahlad. According to the Acharyas, the role that these various gods are playing is very interesting. Atashashvamedha Ghat, as well as Indraloka and even Brahmaloka, it is explained that these were all bhaktas and great, great bhaktas. But they are declared, in their position at least, to be Karma Mishra bhaktas. Because although they are great devotees, still there is some tinge of desire for some material success. And Lord Shiva explained that he was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. His devotion was mixed with performing various mystic systems and cultivation of knowledge as a goal. So he explained that Prahlad is a Shuddha Bhakta. Anya Bilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Nana Bhaktam. Prahlad desired nothing but the service of the Lord. So Narada went to Prahlad and began to glorify him. You are so fortunate. You are so dear to the Lord. You have received such special mercy. Just see how your father, he put you through so many terrible predicaments, and through all of them, You never even asked the Lord to save you. You simply remembered him with devotion. And how the Lord was there at every moment to reveal your glories to the world and to protect you from dangers. Dear Prahlad, even Vishnu himself appeared to you when you were on your way to Naimasharanya in disguise and challenged you to fight, and you defeated him. Because of your love, Vishnu accepted defeat from you. I believe you are the most special to receive Krishna's mercy. And when Prahlad heard this glorification, he became very embarrassed. He said, "Dear Guru Maharaj, please know that I'm nothing. I'm insignificant. Whatever little Krishna has done for me is only because of my connection to you, because you are my spiritual master, because I've been trying to execute your orders." No doubt Krishna went through so much trouble just to protect me, and I am always thinking of him by your mercy, but what have I ever done for him? What service have you ever heard that I've done for him? When did I ever try to assist him in his mission? If you want to know who is really a great devotee, who has received the greatest fortune, it is someone who is constantly engaged in assisting the Lord's mission. And for this purpose, you should go to Hanumanji. Because Hanuman has dedicated his life, his soul, his everything for serving the Lord, not just sitting like me thinking of him. When Ram, Lakshman, and the entire armies were being defeated, he was the one that went to get the mountain and bring them all back to life. He is the one who was the major principal character in building the bridge across the Indian Ocean at Setu Banda. He was the one that brought the message to Sita at the risk of his life and burned the whole city of Lanka with his tail, blazing fire. And he was the one who, when he returned, Ram embraced him and they both covered each other with tears. Hanuman is a true devotee who has received the service of the Lord, which is the greatest mercy given by the Lord. So you should go to Kim Purusha Loka and you should worship Hanumanji. So Narada went to where Hanuman was. As he was approaching, Narada would fly through the sky, playing his veena, chanting the holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, 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 Hare.
Just to enliven Hanuman and the thought of Hanuman, Narada began to sing the beautiful names of Lord Ram. Raghupati, Ramchandra. He just started glorifying the names of Ram. And as Hanuman heard this, he was at the time immersed in kirtan, sitting before the deity of Ram. And he looked up and he saw Narada having kirtan. And before Narada could even come down to the ground, Hanuman leaped up in the sky and embraced him. And they both began crying, bathing each other with tears of love for Lord Sri Ram. And as they chanted the names of Ram, they both started dancing in ecstasy together. Somehow or other, after a long time, they returned to a composed state. And Narada began to glorify Hanuman in so many ways, quoting the wonderful words of Prahlad. And when Hanuman heard this, he looked to the ground. He said, "Why are you saying these things about me?" He said, "I'm just a monkey. What have I done?" He said, "Yes, by the grace of Lord Ram, He allowed me to perform some service to him. But where is he now? When he was taking all of Ayodhya, Sugriva, and everyone else back to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, he told me to end this world and protect his devotees. So now I am in the grief of separation. I am worshipping the deity, but now that I see you and hear the glories of Ram, I am in pangs of separation. He said, "What is my position? I am simply his servant. He gives me an order, I carry out his order." Those who really are fortunate, those who really receive the special mercy of the Lord, they are intimate friends with the Lord. And if you want to see real great Vaishnavas, you go to the Pandavas. At this particular time, my beloved Ram is living as Krishna in the world. And he is always associated with the Pandavas. In fact, he becomes the messenger of Yudhisthira. He bows down before Yudhisthira. He becomes the chariot driver of Arjuna. They are his constant friends. They are his very relatives. How intimate! I am just an animal servant. In fact, I'm so much longing to meet with the Pandavas who have such a loving friendship of the Lord that let us go now to Hastinapur and meet them. And as Narada and Hanuman were glorifying the activities of the Pandavas, they were both making arrangements immediately to leave. But then Hanuman became very grave and he explained that unless Krishna appears as Lord Ramchandra, although I know that in the form of Krishna he exchanges far greater love with his devotees, still my heart has been given to Ram and I cannot see him in any other form. So you please go and send the messages up to the Pandavas on my behalf that I worship their lotus feet. So at that time Narada went to Hastinapur. At that time, Yudhisthira was giving an instruction to all of his ministers. Let us perform a big, big yajna. Somehow or other, we have to get Krishna back here from Dwarka. And Narada came down. And as soon as he came, Yudhisthira welcomed him with all of his brothers, sat him on a beautiful throne, offered him luscious prasad, beautiful words. And then Narada began to explain how fortunate the Pandavas were, what special mercy they received. He glorified them as if he had so many mouths. Krishna is your dearmost friend, and you are Krishna's dearmost friends. Yudhisthira, he became very embarrassed. He said, "No, we have not really received the mercy of the Lord. No doubt the mercy of the Lord is for everyone, but how have we received? What is our service? We have done disservice. Anyone who hears of our devotional service, anyone who hears how we were put through so many difficulties and tribulations because of our devotion to Krishna. We lost our reputation, we lost our homes, we lost everything. Our lives were always being threatened by demons and rakshasas again and again and again. Whoever hears these stories, they will not want to be Krishna's devotees. They will think, what is this devotional service? If I become a devotee, I have to live like the Pandavas? One terrible crisis, one painful experience, one tragedy after another. After so many years of tribulation, we fought this battle. And then my own beloved teacher Drona, my grandfather Bhishma, my sons, my nephews headed by Abhimanyu, they were all killed. Who is going to want to be a devotee of Krishna after hearing our story? And besides that, Krishna never even comes to see us anymore. He's in Dwarka. And then Bhima, he began to speak his heart. And Arjuna began to speak his heart, all explaining how unfortunate they were. And then Kunti spoke. And she explained, with tears flowing profusely from her eyes, that when there was all these dangers and all these troubles and problems, Krishna would always come to save us. But how special is the mercy upon us that now he has made us kings, unrivaled, with no enemies. Now he thinks we're happy, so now he stays in Dwarka. He hasn't come to see us in such a long, long time. If we were really fortunate, if we were really receiving special mercy, then all these calamities would come again and again, so that he would come to save us and let us see his beautiful darshan. If you want to know who is really receiving the mercy of the Lord, it is the Yadus. They live with him 24 hours a day in that beautiful city of Dwarka. So Narada went to Dwarka. Prahlad Maharaj represents Santaras. Service to the Lord in pure devotional service and mood of neutrality. Hanuman represents Dasyaras, which is a more developed stage of bhakti, of being willing to do anything and everything to carry out the order of the Lord as his servant. The Pandavas represent Sakyaras, or intimate loving friendship, where even there is a forgetfulness that one is God. They become like equals as friends, as Arjuna was. When Narada went to Dwarka, he went to the assembly house of Maharaj Ugrasena, Sudharma. And there, they were all meeting together. They were discussing how Krishna is supposed to be here for this assembly, but he's late. And they were all in great anticipation for his arrival. When Narada arrived, they all greeted him and bowed to him, offered their prayers to him, offered him a beautiful throne, began to worship him. And then Narada began to explain how fortunate the Yadus were, that Krishna lives with them. He has become their own intimate relative and friend and associate. And of all, Ugrasena was the most fortunate, because he was the leader amongst all of them. When Ugrasena heard this, his head looked to the ground. He said, "No, do not embarrass me with these words. If you want to know who has really received the special mercy of the Lord, it is Uddhava. Krishna only comes to our assembly when there's business. But Uddhava is with him practically throughout the entire day. He eats with him. Sometimes he sleeps with the Lord's feet on his chest. The Lord gives the most confidential services to him and reveals his most confidential thoughts to him. In fact, Uddhava is with the Lord right now. If you want, the Lord will not allow Uddhava to go anywhere or see anyone without his special permission. That is how much he is attached to Uddhava. He has truly received the mercy of the Lord." So Narada went to the palace of Krishna, where Uddhava was always staying. At that time, standing outside of Krishna's room was Rukmini, Devaki, Satyabhama, Rohini, the mother of Balaram, and Padmavati, the queen of Ugrasena, and also the mother of Kamsa. And they were all very much disturbed because Krishna would not get out of his bed. And Uddhava was there, and he came out of the room, and he was crying, and he was explaining that Krishna, he's feeling so much separation from the devotees in Vrindavan. Meanwhile, when Narada came, they somehow or other greeted him and treated him very nicely, and he began to extol the glories of Uddhava. And Uddhava said, "You think I'm fortunate? You think I'm a great devotee?" He said, "I used to think that too. That is a great illusion." He said, "No doubt, in Dwarka, in Mathura, I am the closest, most intimate friend of Krishna. But Krishna wanted to show me what real devotion is. So he sent me to Vrindavan." Narada was saying, "How can you say these things? Krishna has personally declared to the world about you, Uddhava, that even Balaram, Lakshmi, and even himself is not as dear to him as you." Uddhava said, "Yes, no doubt he said this. But then he sent me to Vrindavan." And there at Uddhava Kyari, when I saw the gopis and I saw Nanda and Yashoda, how they were weeping in separation from Krishna after Akrura took them from Vrindavan. How their minds were completely fixed in the highest ecstasies of divine love for Krishna. The type of spiritual sentiments of bhava and prema that I saw in the residents of Vrindavan made me feel like I was insignificant, like I was nothing. And therefore, I prayed and performed tapasya just to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan so these great Brijabasis will place the dust of their feet on my head. Krishna sent me to Vrindavan just to show me that there is no devotion like that of the Brijabasis. They live only for Krishna. Their every heartbeat, their only breath is for the pleasure of Krishna. The intensity of their affection for Krishna is so spontaneously pure and exalted that in their presence I have come to the conclusion that I have not even a drop of devotion myself. And just now, Krishna cannot even come out of his bed because he's weeping, thinking about his devotees in Vrindavan. And then Rukmini began to speak. She said, "Yes, what Uddhava is saying is true. Krishna's love for the residents of Vrindavan is so great that even at night, when I'm sleeping right beside him, he begins to call out the names of the cows of Vrindavan in such love. He has never called my name with such love." And then he begins to call out the names of his friends, Sridhama, Subala, Arjuna, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal. And sometimes he calls out the name of Nanda and Yashoda. And at other times he calls out the names of the gopis, Lalita, Vishaka, Chandravali, O Radha, O Sri Radharani. And at such times, in his dream, immersed in the thoughts of Sri Radharani and the gopis, he begins to pull at my dress. And then I look at him and he starts to hold his hands like he's playing a flute. And he curves his body in three bends as he's calling out the name of the residents of Vrindavan. And then when he rises from his dream, he's crying in separation from them. And then Satyabhama, she came into the conversation. She said, what Rukmini is saying is true, but not only in his dreams, but even during the day. During the day, Krishna goes into trance. He stands motionless and he starts chanting the names of his devotees in Vrindavan. And when I ask him, what is the problem? Or when I try to make him feel nice, sometimes in his trance, he exclaims, the only reason I ever married you is because you remind me of the gopis. And then Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa, she began to speak. She said, why do you talk about Vrindavan like this? What have they ever done for Krishna? I know, they just worked him like a slave. They sent him out herding cows, doing such a lowly service as herding cows all day long. And they didn't even give him enough food. He would have to steal food. They would work him without even eating, without even giving him food to eat. He would have to steal food. And after he was stole, they would tie him with ropes. And they wouldn't even give him shoes to wear. Meanwhile, Rohini, who lived in Vrindavan for many years, along with Yashoda, she said, you do not understand what is Vrindavan. It is the most opulent, beautiful place in all of creation. It is more opulent than the Vaikunthas. There is the beautiful river Jamuna with beautiful lotus flowers and Govardhan Hill and wonderful trees, each one a Kalpa Vriksha tree. And the residents of Vrindavan, even the creepers in the trees, what to speak of the human beings? They are constantly immersed in the loving service of Krishna. As they were talking like this, Krishna overheard them speaking, and he came out of the room, and he was weeping, thinking about the residents of Vrindavan. And he said to Uddhava, let me write a message to them, because it's paining my heart to think of how they are suffering in my absence. And he started writing a letter. And Uddhava replied, Krishna, you can't do this to them again. When you left for Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan were plunged in such an ocean of grief and separation. You sent me there to try to relieve them. But in seeing me, they were so disappointed. I'll tell you the story. When you left Vrindavan, you killed Kamsa. And then you sent all sorts of nice jewels and ornaments with Nanda Maharaj. And told him, you give them to all my friends. And when they got these jewels, their hearts were broken. We don't want wealth. We don't want jewelry. We don't want opulences. We want Krishna. Does this mean he's not coming back? He's giving us these terrible material facilities? In replacement to him, his loving association? And Nanda Maharaj had to explain, no, no. He's giving this out of love, but he has promised that he will come back very soon. He promised. In this way, there was enough reason for them to go on living with the hope that you will come back at any time. And then you sent me, And when they saw me and heard your message, it only aggravated the intensity of their feelings for separation from you. And Rohini began to explain that how cruel you are, Krishna. They have given everything for you. They left their husbands, they left their children, they left their homes, they left their reputation, they risked everything for you, and you left them, and you won't even come back to visit them. Instead, you send messengers. Do you know, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, how they are suffering? You are their life. I will tell you what the Brijabasis are feeling. They are thinking that they cannot eat. They cannot sleep. The only thing that's keeping them alive is the chanting of your holy name. They are praying that if they will not get the happiness of your return, then let the happiness of death come upon them. They are lamenting terribly that you had taken the poison out of the lake that Kaliya was residing. They are wishing, why didn't he let us die then? The residents of Vrindavan, their limbs are trembling in utter suffering in separation from you. And still, you do not return. And then Balaram began to explain that, yes, you even sent me as a messenger. And when I saw the pathetic condition of Nanda and Yashoda and the gopis and the gopas, I also understood, and I came back and I told you, Krishna, you have to go to Vrindavan. And you said, yes, I will, but you have not gone. And he began to explain that practically all the trees of Vrindavan have died in separation from you. Practically all the grass and the pastures have died. Govardhan Hill has shrunk to a small size in separation from you. The river Jamuna is practically dry. It practically does not flow, and there are no lotus flowers in it anymore. So the only survivors are a few human beings, and they are just laying in the ground, weeping and crying in separation of agony from you. And still, you will not return. As Krishna was thinking about the love of the residents of Vrindavan, he began to cry, and Balaram began to cry, and they both began to roll in the ground, and then they both fell unconscious. When Rukmini and Devaki and Satyabhama and the others saw this, they had never experienced Krishna in such a mood. They all began to weep and cry. And the crying became so loud that Ugrasena and the other leaders of the Yadu dynasty, they all came and they all began to cry. And the crying was so loud that even Brahma never heard such things. So he came down with various other demigods and servants from Brahmaloka. Brahma explained that I think I know a solution to bring Krishna out of this condition of separation from the residents of Vrindavan. He said, Vishwakarma has built a replica of Vrindavan here in Dwarka between the Raivata mountain and the ocean. If we take Krishna there and he thinks he's in Vrindavan again, then he will come back to consciousness and give up his intense lamentations. So he told Garudaji that you bring Krishna and Balaram to this new Vrindavan. And nobody else should go in except Rohini. Krishna and Balaram. So Garuda took. And meanwhile, the principal queens and Devaki, they were hiding behind trees where they would not be seen by him. And Krishna was laid in this replica of Vrindavan. And then Balaram changed Krishna's clothes because he was still unconscious in a fainted condition and put on the dress of a cowherd boy and placed a peacock feather in his hair and put a flute in his hand and a buffalo horn under his dhoti. And then he began to call out, "Gopal, Gopal, Krishna, the cows are waiting. Get up. It's late. You've been dreaming a long time." And then Krishna got up and he looked around, and Balaram was dressed as a cowherd boy and he was dressed as a cowherd boy. And there were murtis of the various Vrijabasis in different places. So Balaram said, "Mother Jashoda has prepared prasad, but the cows are late." So Rohini was there. She said, "Rise, Krishna, rise." And then Krishna saw deity of Nanda Maharaj and he bowed down. And then he saw deity of Yashoda and he said, "I'm sorry I overslept, but I had a very strange dream. Very long. It seemed like a very, very long dream. Someday I'll tell you about it, Mataji." And Rohini, but none of them talked back. Only Rohini was speaking. She was saying, "Krishna, you have to go. The cows are waiting, your friends are waiting, you're very late." So Krishna stole some butter and he went. And as he was going out with Balaram, Balaram was saying, "Come, the cows are here." And there was deities of Radharani and the other Sakis. And Krishna looked at them and he began to address them in very pleasant ways. He was very happy. And he said to Radharani, "Why you are not talking back to me? Why you are not saying anything? I think I know. You must understand the dream I had last night." He said, "I had a dream that I left you and I went to Mathura and then I went to Dwarka and I built a big, big city and then I married 16,108 queens and I had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren from them and I lived in 16,108 palaces and I was killing so many demons." He said, "You must know I had this dream, therefore you are not talking to me. But anyways, I will tell you more later. Now I will meet you tonight in the Kunja. Now I must go to the cows." So Balaram took him, and there they saw the sea. And Krishna thought it was the Jamuna. He said, "Balaramji, let us take our bath in the Jamuna." And as he came closer, the sea, big, big waves. And he started getting suspicious. And then he looked across from the sea and he saw all the big, big palatial palaces of Dwarka. And he said to Balaram, "Where am I? Who am I?" And Balaram explained that Brahma has created all of this with the help of Vishwakarma, just to pacify you from your feelings of separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna understood. He understood everything. And he thanked Balaramji for helping him out of his anxiety, his anguish. And then they boarded Garuda and went back to their palace in Dwarka. At that time, actually, it is explained, when Krishna was dressed like this as a cowherd boy and was frolicking with Balaram, the queens who were watching, they had never experienced such ecstasy before. It is said that Rukmini and Jambavati, when they saw Krishna as a cowherd boy, their feelings of conjugal love intensified like never before for Krishna. They fell in such ecstasy of love for Krishna that they couldn't even maintain their consciousness. They fainted. And when Devaki saw Krishna in this form of a cowherd boy, even though she was very old at the time, her breast filled with milk. She never had so much love for Krishna before. And Satyabhama and Padmavati, they became so much overwhelmed with loving affection that they began to just run to chase after Krishna, to embrace him. They couldn't control themselves. But others stopped them. The intimate associates of the Lord in Dwarka were able to behold for that short time the beauty of Krishna as Vrindavan Chandra, Gopinath, the Lord of Braja. And never had they experienced such happiness. So they all came to Krishna in his palace, and he began to explain. He said, "Where is Satyabhama?" Satyabhama knew how to increase Krishna's pleasure. So she appeared to be jealous that Krishna thinks so much about the gopis, even though, because wives don't like their husbands thinking about other ladies so much. Of course, in this case, they like, because their only purpose is Krishna's pleasure. And wherever Krishna is taking pleasure, that is their happiness. But to increase the pleasure, she appeared to be jealous. So Krishna said, "Call Satyabhama here." And then he told to Satyabhama and all the others assembled, he said, "Let me tell you about the nature of my love for the residents of Vrindavan. Yada yada hi dharmasya galanir bhavati bharata." He said, "I was called by Brahma and the demigods, including Mother Earth herself, to come to this world to kill the demons. That was my purpose. But the 11 years I spent in Vrindavan were so happy playing my flute, exchanging love with my supreme most devotees, the Brijvasis." He said, "I never wanted to leave. But somehow or other I understood it was my duty to fulfill my mission as this incarnation. I had to leave Vrindavan and travel around delivering the world from these asuras. But when I left on this mission, my heart was so much thinking in the mood of Gopinath, of all of the gopis." He said, "It was intolerable. And why did I marry all of you? Why did I marry Rukmini and the 16,100 wives? Only because you reminded me enough of the gopis to pacify me and keep me alive. What is it I love about you? Only one thing, that you remind me of the gopis. But my real love is only for them. Because you here are still attached to opulence and wealth and pride. But they have forsaken all of those things for my loving service. There is no service equal to the gopis of Vrindavan. Their love is the purest. They are the embodiments of the supreme most sacrifice. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has taught us that the true spirit of those who are in the sannyas order of life is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. The most unparalleled renunciation in all of history. People today, they hear the pastimes of Krishna and gopis and they think it's some sort of a fun thing. They imitate Krishna and gopis and they dance with sticks or they do so many things. They do not understand the depth of the renunciation and the intensive devotion. In fact, until we completely renounce every drop of pleasure for sense gratification, until we are 24 hours a day thinking of Krishna in love, you cannot even understand a drop from the ocean of the depth of the gopis'
glories.
But here in India, it is taken so cheaply by so many people of the masses. If you fly Air India, there's pictures of Ras Leela, there used to be, on the walls. And it's just considered to be Indian art. And on television, they portray various stations and shows, Krishna with Radha and gopis. And it's just something enjoyable, a form of entertainment for people. People think that, yes, this is the love of young boy and young girls. Maybe they're better than us. But they do not understand that the greatest sannyasis, even Shukadev Goswami, who was the paramount of all devotees in the renounced order, he worshipped the gopis as the supreme embodiments of the highest realization of Godhead. And even he strived to even adopt a trace of their spirit of real sacrifice and renunciation for the pleasure of the Lord. Krishna explained to them, you may ask, why I haven't gone back to Vrindavan in all these years. He said, I'll tell you, I want to go. If I felt it would be the best things for the residents of Vrindavan, I would go today. But still, there are so many more demons I have to kill. And if I were to leave for Vrindavan, what would happen to all of you? You would die. You would not survive. And if I went to Vrindavan and visited them, and then I told them I have to leave again, because I've been away for so long this time, they will not trust me. They will not be able to maintain their lives. They will certainly leave their bodies. And besides that, the thought of me and the chanting of my holy names is none different than me. And in separation, because they are so engrossed in the thought of me, and they are constantly chanting my holy names with such intense feeling, I am always with them. And their ecstasy of love is at such a supreme, unparalleled position that even if I went there, I could not increase their love. They have already achieved such a position. And after explaining these secrets, he revealed to the world who is most dear to him. And Narada Muni was listening and watching this whole pastime from the beginning to the end. And Uddhava said that Narada Muni has come. And Krishna said, please send him in. So Narada came in. And Krishna explained, I know your heart. I know that you went from Dashashwamedha Ghat, seeing that great Brahmin devotee of mine. And then you saw the wonderful glories of Indrajumna's devotional service. From there, you saw the wonderful sacrifices and bhakti of Indradev. From there you went to Brahmaloka, where you saw him worshipping me, where I'm always residing with 1,000 heads as Yajna Purusha, accepting all of his offerings. From there you went to visit Kailash, and you saw the wonderful kirtan and the devotion of Parvati and Shankar. And then you went to see Prahlad, and to Hanuman, and to the Pandavas, and now you have seen the Yadus and Uddhava, my dearmost. But it should be understood that the love of Vrindavan is most dear to me. That the mercy I have bestowed upon the residents of Vrindavan is most special. Although all these people are great devotees, pure devotees, who are very dear to me, still the love of the Brijvasis is the most dear to me. Now that you have seen this, Narada, I want to offer you any benediction you like. And Narada replied, I simply want to be engaged always in your pure unalloyed devotional service. I want to be constantly at all times remembering your wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan and chanting your holy names. So then, Devaki, Rukmini, Rohini, and others brought nice prasad after Krishna granted him this benediction. And Krishna and Narada had nice prasad. And then Narada Muni left, and he went back to the Venu Madhava temple in Prayag, and he explained to all the sages that we should always meditate on the beautiful form of Madan Gopal and always chant the glories of Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, by chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
During the discourse between Ramananda Rai and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this same explanation of the development of deeper and deeper and deeper rasas of love with Krishna was explained. And after describing the glory of the gopis, Ramananda Rai came to the ultimate final conclusion that of all the gopis, Sri Radharani, who is the source of all the love and devotion that they all possess, is the ultimate, most supreme, dearmost beloved of Krishna. And he began to explain that the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna is the perfection of all spiritual realization. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself manifested, from his body emanated the beautiful forms of Radha Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That although the one supreme truth became two for the sake of intimate love, Radha and Krishna became one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are celebrating this weekend the wonderful festival of Radhastami through this beautiful narration of the story from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sri Sanatan Goswami. We can understand in gradation the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani, and we can understand the supreme mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For this reason, the brother of Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, at that very place, actually in Varanasi, he chanted that wonderful verse, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane. That of all incarnations, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful, the most munificent, the supreme most. Why? Because no other incarnation has given what Lord Chaitanya has offered the world. Through the congregational chanting of the holy names, through sincerely following those in disciplic succession, the principles of Krishna consciousness in association of devotees, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us the very blessings of Srimati Radharani's love. She herself has come to give her own love to anyone who will simply accept it. And those who follow the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are easily elevated to the position of the same bhakti as the residents of Vrindavan. Therefore, we understand that this Gaudiya Vaishnav teaching given by Lord Chaitanya is the topmost revelation of all the scriptures. Actually, this whole story Sanatan Goswami explains took place in this way. Maharaj Parikshit heard for 7 days the teachings from Sukadeva Goswami. He was about to leave this world when his mother Uttara, who was a pure devotee, approached him and requested that you have heard this great narration from your guru. It is like a vast ocean of nectar. Please, in the few minutes you have before you leave this world, explain to me the essence of all the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami in reply told the story of Narada Muni going to the various places to show how the Bhagavatam develops from various levels of bhakti, karma mishra, jnana mishra, sudha bhakti, through santaras, dasyaras, sakyaras, vatsalyaras, and ultimately madhuryaras. And how Sukadeva Goswami, his explanation culminated in what Lord Chaitanya has come to give the world. So we are so fortunate at this auspicious time to have the opportunity to receive this great fortune in the form of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. He has given us the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And he has given us the most wonderful opportunity to serve his servants, the Vaishnavas, the topmost of all religious principles. By serving those who are dear to the Lord, we become most dear to the Lord. This is the essence of all knowledge. To learn how to please and sincerely serve those who are dear to the Lord, because that is the process of becoming most dear to the Lord. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas are all eternal associates of the Lord in Vrindavan. By serving their instructions, we are also naturally, spontaneously given a place in the holy land of Vrindavan to eternally assist as the servant of the servant of the servant in the beautiful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.